Thankful that you're here this morning. It is a blessing to be able to assemble to worship our great God. This morning, I want us to think about Jesus Christ, who was forsaken, but he promised never to forsake. And I want us to find encouragement and hope in that and realize the power of that. In fact, what Brother Gordon read from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Hebrews writer is quoting Jesus' statement, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus, who was forsaken, promises never to leave nor forsake us. And I want us to focus in part on this by looking at the great commission he gave in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. These are the last words of the gospel record of Matthew. And he writes in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. There are so many parts of these verses that we could focus on and preach on and teach on. But those last words of, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," is what I want us to focus on this morning. And it's in the book of Acts, written by Luke, inspired of God, that we see this great commission carried out. Let me ask you, do you enjoy reading history? Do you enjoy reading adventure? The book of Acts has it. The book of Acts, in it we see reports of trials, riots, escapes, persecutions, voyages, shipwrecks, events that take place in temples, courts, prisons, on porches, in deserts, and on the sea. Acts is so unique that some have referred to it as the single most indispensable book in the New Testament. Now, let me explain that statement. There are four gospel records. There are many epistles in the New Testament. There's only one Acts, and it bridges the gap between the Gospels and the letters. We see in the book of Acts how the church was established, how the gospel spread throughout the world. It shows the disciples as they courageously set out to win the world for Christ. They were accused of turning the world upside down. It shows God's guidance through all of this. We see the hand of God on practically every page of the book of Acts. This inspired historical record describes how early preachers of the gospel presented the gospel message. It demonstrates the power of the word of God and its effect on the hearts and lives of men and women. We see examples of people being converted to Christ as they were instructed in the way of salvation. Jesus leaves his followers with a monumental task to take the gospel to the world, but he assures them that I will be with you. No force, no matter how overwhelmingly evil it may be, can thwart God's sovereign plan. Seeing the hand of God throughout this historical record of Acts should encourage us all. And we realize that the Lord has promised to be with us today. It should help us to keep on carrying the saving message, making disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching all that the Lord had commanded. Let's take a quick survey, and this is not a full list of every time we see in Acts God's hand working, but let's take a survey of some things that show that. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Jesus tells his disciples to stay there in Jerusalem till they receive the power from on high. And we see in the next chapter, after he ascends to heaven to be at God's right hand, that the Holy Spirit comes upon them and guides them into all truth. The church is established in Acts 2, and we see what they are busy doing at the end of Acts 2. And we see that they had a lot of opposition. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 31, we see that all of these plans to take a stand against God and his children, the church, are futile plans. God will not allow his church to be stopped, to be wiped out. Remember that promise made from the prophet Daniel interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, saying that there will be a kingdom established that will never be destroyed. And God would be sure that that would not happen. Any plans to do that would be defeated. In Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we see that persecution was allowed, persecution of the Lord's church, led by Saul of Tarsus, wreaking havoc on the church. But that only led to the gospel spreading into Samaria and Judea in Acts chapter 8. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, we read, here Philip had been instructed to go find this person. Look in Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So Philip went. He followed that instruction from the Lord. He went and he found a man from Ethiopia. And in verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake his chariot.'" And we see that he told him about Christ, and he knew he needed to be baptized. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord arranges a life-changing meeting between Saul and Ananias. In Acts chapter 10, the Lord arranges a life-changing meeting between Cornelius and Peter. And Cornelius even brought his relatives and close friends, his household, we see in Acts 10 and verse 24, to hear the preaching. And Peter preached in Acts 10 verses 34 through 43. And at the end, commanded them to be baptized, Acts 10 and verse 48. In Acts 11, verses 20 and 21, we see the Lord is with Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, and that is apparent that he is with them. The hand of the Lord was with his disciples as they preached about the Lord Jesus. And in Acts 11, verses 20 and 21, we read, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Move along to Acts chapter 16. In Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, we see that from the Lord that Paul received the Macedonian call, as we refer to it, instruction from the Lord on where to go into Macedonia. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 26, we see the Lord frees his disciples from prison. In Acts 17 and verse 6, never before has any small group of common, ordinary people people so move the world that their enemies would say with rage in their eyes that these men have turned the world upside down. When we read this, we should be convinced that there is someone at work besides mere human beings. In Acts chapter 18, verses 5 through 11, we see the Lord assures Paul that he is with him in Corinth. He says, I am with you. Does that remind you of Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is being sent to the ruler of Egypt? And he says, who will I say sent me? And he says, I am. I am. The Lord lets Paul know that I am with you. In Acts 19 and verse 11, God works at what is said, quote unquote, in the New King James Version of the Bible, unusual miracles. Unusual miracles God works by at the hands of Paul. Acts 19 and verse 11. In Acts 24 through Acts 26, we see that Paul has the opportunity to go before rulers, leaders, powerful people by the name of Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. The Lord is with Paul as we see the close of Acts on his voyage to Rome as he preaches there in Acts 27 and 28. Now, if you notice, the book of Acts ends rather abruptly. Paul is in Rome, it says in Acts 28 and verse 31. He is preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe there is a reason that Luke's book here, inspired book, ends so abruptly. Perhaps it's to remind us that we have some unfinished business, the Lord's business. It reminds us that the story goes on. Wherever the Lord finds faithful followers ready to continue the work that he began. And the kingdom work is just as urgent, as just as important as it was when the Lord said in John chapter 9 and verse 4 that we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, I want to make this statement, and please listen. I feel like this is encouraging to us here at West Main as we continue to work to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord has not commissioned us to do what he will not help us accomplish. The same Lord that was with these disciples throughout the book of Acts is with us today when we are teaching the truth. And it's the same powerful gospel that we are to teach. And we are to trust him. The disciples of Jesus Christ were left with tremendous work to be done. The Great Commission, remember Matthew chapter 28. They're to teach all nations. To go into all the world, Mark 16 and verse 15. That challenge is our challenge, and the book of Acts shows us that the power of the gospel changes lives, and it will change eternal destinations. It should inspire us. And until the Lord returns, let us teach the gospel, trusting in its power, trusting in God, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And as bondservants of Jesus Christ, as Romans 1:1 says, we carry on his mission. And I think about the song that we sometimes sing, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. If we do not do the work of the Lord, who will? Who will? The Lord has given us this work to do, and we're going to be held accountable for it. The early disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Acts 2 and verse 42. They accepted the apostles' message in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God. And they preached that message that was given by God. Surely, the Lord found in these disciples in Acts what he must also be seeking. A group of believers so united in faith that he can work with us and through us. The promise of Jesus has been made. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us as long as we're doing his work. And maybe sometimes we'll feel defeated, we'll feel like we failed, but as long as we are trying to get the word out there, if we're working and we're relentless on that, I believe with all my heart he will be pleased in what we do here. Let's rally together and do the Lord's work. It is our job to plant and to water. God will give the increase. And maybe it won't be so visible. It will all just be so thrilled and encouraged day after day. But don't give up. Be prepared for rejection. It will happen. But we're not alone. The Lord is with us in this. If you're not a child of God this morning, please consider what you need to do to become one. The Bible says that when you hear the word of God, you must believe it. Believe it's the truth. Be willing to repent of your sins. Strive to be holy as God is holy. Confess you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And to be baptized and wash away your sins as Saul was told to do from that person in that life-changing meeting. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and be faithful unto death. And you will one day be in heaven with the Lord. I know that when the Lord gave his disciples this great task in Matthew 28, 20 through 26, they must have been terrified. Just like when he told them before his crucifixion that he was going away. That he says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, I'm going away, but I want to prepare a place for you. Let's don't miss out on heaven, and let's take as many people there with us as we can. If you're already a child of God and you need to repent, we'd be happy to assist you. Don't leave here lost. It's no one's fault but yours if you do. Come to Jesus while together we stand and sing.